Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
News, good sports, all coming your way. And also, and first and foremost, JB Weld. DIY projects, you want to get through some of those. You want to avoid paying the repairman. You don't want that guy bouncing around your house with the big dirty boots and smelly butt crack. Let's go with JB Weld. Ordinary glue, well, it's ordinary. You don't need that. You need the super strong effectiveness. That is JB Weld. We're proud of JB Weld as a sponsor. They're great. I know the owner hung out in SEMA with these guys, and I was using JB Weld long before they became sponsors. They've been around for over 50 years, proudly made in the USA. Keep JB Weld in your toolbox, kitchen drawer, craft room. Hey, look, if you're going to fix metal, wood, plastic, whatever, don't glue it. JB Weld it. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. It is JB Weld.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Kellyanne Conway, the senior advisor to President Trump and one of his longest serving aides, is leaving the White House at the end of the month. By the way, her husband, George Conway, who's a conservative lawyer and outspoken critic of the president, is also stepping back from his role on the Lincoln Project. That's an outside group of Republicans devoted to defeating Trump in November. Why are they both doing this all of a sudden? Well, I don't know if you caught their daughter's TikTok video, but I'll show it to you. It'll make everything crystal clear for you. Conway's high school daughter has drawn a lot of attention for tweets about her parents and politics. On Sunday, she tweeted on social media that this is becoming way too much. There is a 55-second video of their daughter saying that her father neglects her, probably doesn't even know her middle name, that she's been physically abused by her father, that her mother's abusive and neglectful. She doesn't like her parents. She wants to be emancipated, and she's planning on getting herself emancipated from the family. And the next morning, everybody announces that they're quitting their jobs and they have to focus on the family. And I believe Kellyanne Conway's quote was, "I need things to be a little less drama and a little more mama at my house." Awesome. So everybody's quitting their jobs and going to take care of the daughter.
You know, it strikes me there's going to be more and more of this going on. And I know a few of these people. I may be becoming one of them, which is, no kids, younger kids or whoever kids, they just don't really know what life was like for us growing up. Like, they don't know how the world essentially works, which is like, you think about, I mean, obviously I have bad parents, but I knew a lot of people that had, you know, semi-crappy parents or okay parents. Like, nobody's parents were great. Nobody's parents did what they... I'll put it to you this way. My kids have a much different version and vision of like parents and what they're supposed to be doing and how they're supposed to be doing it than I had growing up. And they're just in it. Like, I kind of realize, like, we're going to need a visit of the ghost of Christmas past or something. Like, I would need to take my daughter and about half of my son and sort of walk them through what most people, what life was like for human beings. It wasn't like, "Dad, get out of the theater. I'm watching," you know, it's like, you don't even know what theater. What are you talking about? Get out of the theater. Like, I mean, it is fairly insane what people can get used to. It's fairly insane where the bar is now for parents. I mean, you know, you got to be your kid's best friend and you got to attend every whatever. Like, you know, it struck me when I was walking with the great Vince Vaughn in my neighborhood 4 or 5 years ago now, and his wife was talking to my wife and I was talking to Vince, and we were just walking to this local restaurant. And the entire walk home, It was like, well, their kid wants to play soccer, so they want to get him a special, you know, tutor or coach, you know, to come over and work one-on-one. But they have to drive him because the soccer place is out of town and blah, blah, blah. And up front, the women are talking about, you know, doing sports tournaments in Vegas and, you know, how long you have to stay at the hotel and how many games are they going to play over how many days. And when we got back to the house, I just said, Vince, you and I just talked more about our kids than my parents talked about their kids combined, entire lifetime. I mean, just think about the discussions. Mm-hmm. It's just the discussions. Like, did your parents, like, sit around and have long discussions about you? Like, Brian is 11. Brian is thinking about getting a retainer. And then someone else would come in, well, is Brian going to play Pony League or is he playing Babe Ruth this year? He's playing Pony. The coach said, are you kidding me? My parents never had a discussion about me. Like this notion of like this love. We have to dedicate our lives to the kids. This is an insane new world. Like, I don't know what she's doing or what she's dealing with. But
now it's worth it to see a couple seconds of it.
She's not seeing it through the filter my sister saw her life through when she was young. That's for goddamn sure.
Doubtful.
Right.
All right. Here it is.
Being their daughter, they don't give a shit. Like, they don't give a shit. My dad doesn't care about me. He's never cared about me. He probably doesn't even know my middle name, which is really sad, but it's true. You know, he never really cared about me my whole life.
Adam's like, is that a problem?
When I was younger, my dad physically abused me a lot, right here in this very room. And my mom, the same thing with my mom, you know, my mom got me arrested. You know, she's very, very physically abusive, very, very verbally abusive. I've been belittled and badgered my entire life. And I just said this to them, you know, you guys putting on this whole show, you know, they want attention. So, you know, them putting on this whole show of them leaving, I guess, isn't really going to be effective. You know, I think they're just scared that I'm going to emancipate myself, which I am. I'm going to try.
All right. We're talking about physical abuse, really? I mean, how physically abused do you think? I'm telling you, everyone, I'll see you all in the cornfield. We took all the fucking kids, we put them all in charge. They're all fucking dripping with power. You want to know? I'll tell you the person who has the most juice at my house, my daughter, 10 times over her mom, me, Olga, Sonny, like the person with the most juice at my house, or let's put it to you this way, the person who thinks they can do the most is definitely Natalia. She's she's like, if you walked, you know, like when I walked into the room and she was doing her Zoom, you know, classroom or whatever, she's like, Dad, get out. And I'm like, I need a book. Get it later. Like, I mean, she thinks she's in charge of the entire house. It's our fault, but she thinks he's in charge of the house. I mean, kids are just fucking drunk with power now. This chick is drunk with power. She thinks her parents are there to she's going to dictate policy at her house. I'm telling you, everyone thinks this is good. This is the future. Like this thing of like we have to empower kids. Fuck that. It's not good. First off, they're all miserable. It makes them fucking miserable when they're, empowered. This chick's miserable. She's going to be miserable. I'm sure parents are horrible, too. But so everyone I knew had horrible parents. That's who cares? You grow up, you move out. That's it. Get away from them. And I know. I sound like old man Carolla. You tell me how the society is going to work. You tell me how happy these people are going to be. They're all miserable. That's number one. I've never seen kids who had more who are more miserable. They live in 7,000 square feet. There's air conditioning everywhere. They have everything they want, and they're fucking miserable. Get used to it. Don't empower kids.
Maybe she saw Ryan O'Neal and Shelley Long's Irreconcilable Differences when Drew Barrymore emancipates herself from the family.
All right, kids, it's all the future. It's all the future. Let's look to them for every answer. Blah. Every impulse we have is fucking wrong. It's all wrong. It's never going to work. But okay, we're going to turn to the kids. They're going to tell us who's in power. Everyone's miserable. Everyone who has a bunch of shit is now miserable. The happiest people I know are the people who, like, work and go about their business and have, like, responsibilities and have a little gravity in their life. But anyway. All right. She's a delight. That'll be awesome. It's great. Fantastic. What else?
Okay. TMZ reports that a storage locker treasure hunter hit a jackpot. They found an abandoned unit packed with Kobe Bryant stuff. And now one of the stars of Storage Wars is involved. So here's the deal. Just like being on the show, the storage units are auctioned off when the owner stops paying their bills. And get like a teeny tiny look, like a teeny little look into the storage unit. But then, you know, the door slams shut. So it's not like you can go rummaging around in there. You just see what you see and then you start bidding. The person scored the unit by paying $375. It took a few minutes. I'm showing you some of the items inside. I'll describe them in a second. It took a few minutes to realize the stuff inside belonged to Kobe Bryant. And
Was it Kobe's storage unit?
No, it was owned by Kobe's stylist, Derek Roche. Uh-huh. So here's what's in there. 35 pairs of shoes, jerseys, Laker practice gear, a Laker All Access badge that says Mamba, tax paperwork, and a mink coat that TMZ says there are pictures of Kobe wearing. So the stuff has to be properly authenticated, but it's likely worth a lot. So the buyer called the Storage Wars guy, Rene Nijoda. I hope I'm saying that right. He's, I don't know, possibly German on the show. He has experience, of course, finding buyers for high-end storage treasures. Rene bought all of the contents for how much do you think from the guy?
Oh, so the first guy pays $370.
Mm-hmm. And then $375.
Someone does it on the spot.
He calls the Storage Wars guy and says, you deal with this. How much do you want for it?
Well, we're right in the middle of Kobe mania now because of the date, right? 8/24 mm-hmm. Kobe day.
Absolutely right.
In Los Angeles. And I saw ESPN was all over it. Sad that the people that run Los Angeles killed Kobe by forcing him to take a helicopter because they wouldn't fucking fix their traffic problem in this town. But okay. Let's say $80,000.
I was going to say 100K.
$13,000.
Oh.
That's shocking.
A bargain at any price.
I don't get the rules with storage containers. Like, you're not allowed to open them and properly assess the value of what's in them.
That's what makes it fun.
No, but there's also a law, right? Like,
it must be.
It's in the terms, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can stand where you're standing and they'll open the door, but that's it. And because you don't own it yet.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to. So what I'm saying is I don't know what the rules are, Max Zapata, but I think there's a law that's like, so it's like somebody. All right. Someone could take my kids could take all my Paul Newman paraphernalia and fire suits and racing helmets and put them in storage. And then one of them could die and then nobody could be aware of it. And then they just bid on it like sight unseen, like what other auction works that way? I mean, I've been involved with plenty of car auctions. I've been involved with some real estate auctions. And you get to show up, walk through the house, look at everything, look at the car, check it out. You know exactly what you're getting. And then you bid on it.
Yeah.
Why does this? Do you know what the law is, Maxwell? Because I think there's some law to it. I don't think it's just for the game show aspect of it.
No,
but it's weird.
But do you think it has something to do with it's somehow more personal because there could be paperwork. There could be more intimate items than something that a car would provide.
I remember when, like, Paris Hilton let her storage thing lapse and they found, like, herpes medication. By the way,
how bad does
your herpes have to be where it's like, my medicine cabinet will not hold this bounty of medication. I need a storage unit. Why don't you bring it to the garage? No. I mean, we're talking about pallets of Zithromax. Pallets. You understand? Dating. Like, an unending amount of Zithromax. I must buy a storage unit. Like, but I just felt like she should have been able to, I don't know. I don't know how it works. All I'm saying is what other thing works this way where nobody gets to see it, you bid on it, they won't go through it, figure out the value of it, and then sell it on the open market. All right, I'll let Max Pata figure that out. I'll tell you now about Tommy John. The secret, staying sweat-free this summer. Well, that is Tommy John's summer-ready, ultra-breathable underwear and bras. I'm wearing my Tommy John. I'm wearing my T-shirt and the underpants right now. The best, breathable, cool, great for working out, great, especially if it's kind of humid out like it is now. You go for a hike, you work up a little froth, and it'll just dry on you as soon as you get home. Cool cotton underwear for men and for women. It's like having your own on-body AC unit. Tommy John, they do the lounge pants and the lazy day joggers as well. Soft, Zoom-ready tees and polos. It's the best, everyone. So upgrade to Tommy John today for enhanced, super breathable designs. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free, guaranteed. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
What else, Gina Grant?
We're talking a little bit about auctions. A one-of-a-kind Mike Trout baseball card set a record over the weekend as the highest-selling sports card of all time.
Really?
The 2009 Bowman Chrome Draft Bowman Chrome Draft Prospects Superfractor signed rookie card sold for this amount, which you can guess. And I will tell you what that card beat for now, the highest value back from 2016. What do you think it sold for? And you could round.
Did you say 2016? Oh, that's I don't know, Brian, is it Honus Wagner or is it somebody like that or Babe Ruth? Like, what are the...
Yes, I spent a considerable amount of my friendless childhood collecting baseball cards and researching them. And it was the Honus Wagner T206 that was the highest, as far as I know, the highest priced baseball card sale ever. Something like 300K. So I would be really surprised if this was more than that. But Gina's got the story, so I'm going to go with 305.
Well, when did that Honus Wagner card sell?
That would have been the 90s.
Right. So this is 2016 was the highest, right? Baseball
card. Is it one of a kind or something?
Baseball cards are super expensive. I mean, the real collector ones. It's a weird thing. It's funny because, like, guitars are collectible and guns are collectible and cars are collectible. And they all have a little heft to them, you know. But
cardboard.
The baseball card is literally a card. I'm gonna shoot for the moon here and go over $750,000.
Well, Brian, you were so right up until a point. Honus Wagner T206 that had sold.
That was a lucky guess, Gina. I don't really know much about that.
That had sold for, but you couldn't have been more off for how much it sold for: $3.12 million.
Wow.
In 2016.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the 90s, it was like 300K.
This card was the Mike Trout. This sold for, we're going to round up, $4 million. 3.9,
wow.
Basically.
Must be a one of a kind.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Jesus Christ.
Fun fact, the iconic Mickey Mantle rookie card from 1955, 56, or somewhere around there, was actually not rare. It was a double print. What happened was Topps, the baseball card manufacturers, used to print them on sheets. Well, I think they still do. But so there would be an odd, uneven number, so they have to double print certain cards. And luck of the draw, they double printed one of those valuable cards of all time.
Oh, wow.
I never, comic books, baseball cards, all that kind of stuff, it never was my thing. I was always like, I need something mechanical, or I need to wrestle with somebody or jump from something into a swimming pool. I always felt that the cards, I didn't read, obviously, but even the baseball cards, I mean, I could see the stats and the pictures and stuff like that. It just always felt unsatisfying to me. Like it felt like... That's like Dr. Drew, who's a man of passion. He doesn't go into strip clubs because he can't fuck the chicks. I mean, let's be honest. Or maybe he could get away with it.
So he could probably.
I don't know. His thing is like, why am I just watching chicks dancing naked? Why don't I just go home and plow my wife? I think that's what he thinks.
Is that a direct quote?
Yeah. And
why is it romantic, Gina?
I kind of get
doctor.
It. I mean, there's that argument. You know what I mean?
Bizarre fact, I never owned a single comic book.
Oh, really?
No time for
surprising.
Them.
But a lot of baseball cards.
Oh my God! My entire closet was filled with them.
What are they worth?
There was a real like joy. I don't know how to put it, but like satisfaction for me was out of cataloging them and organizing them and putting the commons over here and the good ones over here and assembling a complete set. You know, it was that was that kind of stuff.
What would most valuable card be worth today?
Oh gosh, they're in my garage. I know that. I have a couple of rookie cards from guys who are now Hall of Famers, Tony Gwynn and I think Wade Boggs. You know, keep in mind I was a kid in the late 80s, early 90s. Ricky Henderson, I have a couple of autograph cards. I'll look and get back to you. I'll bring a few.
All right. Gina.
At one point, Christy and I are going to get out of town for an entire day, and you and Andy can go figure this shit out together because he just got a giant box shipment from his childhood home, all the organized, stacked in different binders. And they were kind of in those pull out like plastic that you have to put in the 3-ring binder.
Yeah, of course.
They were kind of everywhere. And I kind of was just stacking them sort of with no. I swear to God, it was like I was ripping them in half. He's like, I just want to put them away. I just want to get them out of the living room. He's like, I'll do it. So you people really do have a very special connection to these cards.
We used to play one-on-one baseball on blacktop in the school that was across the street from my house, elementary school, Colfax Elementary. So to illustrate my lack of interest in baseball cards, but my interest in actually doing something physical, I would climb the fence. My buddy Steve Hughes would climb the fence, and it was just we'd play one-on-one, and you'd bat, and one guy would pitch, the other guy would bat. It was sort of on the honor system. Like if you hit a lazy fly ball to center field, that was an out. If you crushed it and went way into the dirt, that was a home run. And then there were the kind of the ones you hit into the alley that you'd have to argue over a little, like right fielder would have got to it or the shortstop would have caught it or whatever it is. But we had a skateboard and you just pitch at one ball. Ball was usually a home run ball from me from Little League that now had been put into service because, baseballs were $4. And pitch, you have to call balls and strikes, and you'd hit. It was amazingly satisfying. It sucked when you fouled the ball off and someone had to get on the skateboard and go rolling forever on the blacktop. But I was always so into physically doing something versus like sitting. And of course, it's why I was a horrible student. That notion of like sitting and studying something and categorizing it and putting it in its place all sounded like the most boring shit ever to me.
It was
like staring at the sport without participating in the sport to me. But again, I was so hardcore when I was a kid that when I played sports, especially when I played football, I would always look at the referees and the coaches, and I'd feel sorry for them. I was just like,
"Oh, because they couldn't play."
Yeah, you guys are out here, but you're just watching. You're just out here. I didn't know the satisfaction of coaching or the satisfaction of being a referee. The notion that you would just sit there and be so close to it, but you couldn't play, you couldn't participate. Like it seemed like. Like, they were fools. Like, I appreciated what they were doing, but I literally felt...
Huge sacrifice.
I felt sorry for them. Yeah. It was weird. All right, what else, Gina?
Ireland Baldwin got jumped recently, and she wants to make sure people know to watch their surroundings. And we have a picture of it, too. Ireland was... she posted some bruises on her face after being attacked by a woman who she said was desperate for money and high out of her mind. The 24-year-old model talked about the incident on Instagram. That's the picture we're looking at. And she says, I was attacked. This woman was desperate for cash. She decked me in the face in a parking lot and took my belongings and jumped into a getaway car with her husband. Ireland, who's the daughter of Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger, said police eventually arrested her. The woman that jumped her.
Well, let me tell you the good news. Yeah. The good news is later on, the woman who attacked his daughter and a male driver tried to take Alec's parking spot at a at a stereo store, and he ended up randomly just kicking the shit out of that person, not even knowing that it was the same person that attacked the daughter earlier.
We call that beshert.
Are you guys, I don't know if you guys are kind of with me a little, but between like watching the news and seeing all the nut jobs running and just punching people and seeing all this random stuff like cops getting bricks thrown at them and just sort of random cold cocking people, like just sort of that sort of chaos that is what's going on in this era, and nutty, whacked out, drugged up, homeless people sort of all in, you know, circling the neighborhood. I who don't have any real sense of self-preservation, I found myself like walking and passing people and kind of keeping my hand a little higher than it, than in my pockets, like wondering, there's a lot of like folks just cold cocking people like on the street, just coming up and whacking people in the head and stuff. Like, this is a little bit of an epidemic. I know it's, part of it is the time we're in, but I don't know. I feel a little weird walking past strange dude standing on the corner now. Like, I've got a little, I've got more thoughts about it than I formerly had. And I'm not running serpentine, you know, to the mailbox, but I have like a little head on a swivel, like who's around me. What's, I don't know. It's kind of a thing. It's like what everyone's doing with a mask now. You know, you're walking down the trail. You see someone walking toward you. You give them a little berth now. You know, you give everyone their room. You know, just that, a sort of general situational awareness.
Basically, you're walking now like a woman in general.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
you're
right.
Always being like, I don't like that group. I'm going to cross the street. I don't like that dude's hanging out of the corner. I'm going to give him a wide berth here.
I still throw like a dude. Thank Christ, but I'm walking like a chick or an Egyptian.
Right.
I know it's true. This is the sort of thing of like, it's getting dark. It's a little late. I don't want to go. Maybe I should get walk with somebody, or maybe I shouldn't take the shortcut through the park. It's dark outside. Like, yeah, those kinds of thoughts that never really entered the mind of the 6'2", 200-pound, able-bodied guy who used to box. Now I'm starting to have those kind of like, steer clear of this.
Yeah.
There's a group of people over there. Go to the other side
of
the street.
Two things I never, ever, ever do at night, and I could see at least one. I could see one of them being, I don't think anyone should do. I never get gas at night by myself, ever, because there's too many weird. There's too many weird dudes hanging around the gas station, and I never go to the ATM at night. And I would I would beseech anyone to follow me on that.
I had I did a daytime gas run, and I think I'm now at the point where I'm only going to get gas at night because
we'll balance each other out.
I fired up the Aston Martin. Oh, Max Pat, I took a couple of pictures on my phone to see how good that car looked, but I fired up the Aston Martin that sit in the back of this shop.
That's the one in the back of this very studio, right?
And it's been sitting back there for like 8 years, maybe more.
As long as you're doing the podcast.
Yes, it's been there. And first things first, we tried to fire it up and the battery just exploded, like literally exploded. I mean, you could hear it, smoke coming out, everything. Fixed it all up, got a new battery, blah, blah, blah. Got it sort of up and running. It's a finicky British car, but got it running, got it out there, started driving it around over the weekend, went in at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday to fill it up with gas, got out of the car. It draws some eyeballs because it's a really slick looking car. A couple people at the gas station, you know, we're looking at it, walked around, couldn't figure out how to get the gas filler lid to pop open. Like went back in the car, started pushing buttons. It's a weird English car, and I forget if it's supposed to pop or you do it with the key. It was no poppage, no nothing. And then I had to pretend like I didn't want gas anymore. So I had to kind of go.
These prices are outrageous. Good day.
I didn't want to go like, I don't know how to fucking pop the lid in my own car, but I hadn't driven it in 10 years. I was like, you know, I've been thinking about this whole gas thing. I'm not really going, you know, I'm not going to Nevada, just going home, maybe to work and back. So, you know, maybe another day. And I got back into my car as if I thought about gas But, you know, I let discretion be the better part of valor, and I got back in my car, drove away. And I don't know if everyone just thinks I'm a total ass or what I was thinking, or obviously I didn't know how to. We've all seen the person turn around and go to the other pump because they pulled up the wrong side. But I literally had to go home. And then when I got home, I had to go look up a video, you know, Aston Martin DB9 can't get gas flap open. There's a video for everything on the internet now. Like it's like, oh, pop the trunk. There's a release button that you can get to underneath the thing. If it won't open on its own, it's stuck. But there's an emergency release that's in the whatever. I took a picture of it because I thought you guys would enjoy it. Yeah, it's Aston Martin Racing Green, and it has a beautiful burgundy interior. And people think that the red wouldn't go with the green, but that's a very English thing, the red interior with the green exterior.
You're 100% right about the video being for everything, especially if you're a parent of a young child, how to open the stroller, how to snap in the car seat, because there are plenty of times you're like, fuck, how do I do this? But the worst thing about the video, and Adam, I imagine the car guys who make the videos don't succumb to this, but the fucking people who do the strollers and the car seats definitely do. You want to know, like, how do I fold this thing up, or how do I unfold it, or how do I click it in? You click on a video, it's 5 minutes long, and the first 3 minutes are the history of car seats. Car seats were first invented in 19. So I want to know how to click this thing in.
Yes. There are videos about how to install a sewage injection pump, like below grade, below the sewer line. I mean, I'm not that guy, but my God, if you want to know how to do anything, there is some dude on the internet who's telling you how to do it. Yep. And it's pretty magical. Like, I don't think that people really totally and fully appreciate the fact that I drove home, I popped on the computer, I just typed in the car, gas lid jammed or popped or button or whatever. Instructional video came on, and inside the trunk, there is a release that you can reach over and do it. And I was back heading to the gas station 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, of course, looking around for anyone who would have been there when I was there the first time getting gas. I had to wait for them.
Is it
a
bad idea to ask why you didn't look up the video on your phone in the car? Oh,
because that is one step away from me. I should have used my phone and looked it up. On the other hand, I was on the clock. Like, once everyone was looking at me in my expensive sports car, and I couldn't figure out how to get the thing open, I just didn't want to stand there now frantically typing things into my phone. So I just went home.
Well, and with the YouTube tutorial, middle school girls these days, Natalia, of course, no excuse not to know how to do your hair, do your makeup. The way I was walking around in seventh grade, it was clear there were no videos to show you which direction to curl your bangs. I didn't know it was supposed to go forward, maybe back, maybe sideways one day. No idea. I didn't have an older sister. So these days, hair and makeup on point, ladies.
Brian, who told you how to do your bangs back when?
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, I'm going to give a life hack for all people listening. Whether you're going on a cruise like the Adam Carolla cruise, or whether you're going to a hotel or whatever, and you're wondering, is it worth the extra $50 a night to upgrade to the next room? There are walkthroughs of almost every hotel room on earth. Like, people just take their phones and just walk through and film things. Why? I don't know. It mystifies me like it mystifies, unboxing videos mystify me. But they're there, so you can look up the rooms at almost any hotel.
Yeah, I like that Erin Andrews walkthrough video of her hotel room.
That's what that was.
Sometimes you can't get into the room, but you still want to know the lay of the land.
Yep. She has a suite.
The thing that's funny about that car in Aston Martin Racing Green, which is a lighter color green than a British Racing Green, which is a dark sort of hunter green, and the burgundy red interior, the thing that's funny about the story of that car is my friend Bo Bachman over at Galpin Ford. He's like, hey, why don't you come on over and order an Aston Martin before they were just taking orders for him. The car is brand new. It never came out. And I said, okay, but I don't know. I think I was in between radio jobs then or something like that. And I said, you know, what if the car comes in 6 months and I don't have a good job or I can't afford it. It was $160,000 or something. And he said, no problem. Everyone's snapping these things up. So just come on down, order it. And then when it comes in 6 months, you can either pick it up or we'll sell it the next day. And I said, well, can't argue with that. And then you go into this cool, like, James Bond type boutique room, and they have the leather swatches and the wood swatches and the headliner swatches and the color swatches. And you start laying it out like this color with that color and this wood with that headliner, the piping on the seats. You know, it's all custom stuff. So it's a really, it's a great, for a guy who grew up how I grew up, like, you know, I grew up with is like, you can get a Bell Beaver, but you're not getting a taco and a Bell Beaver. You get one or the other. Like, that's how I grew up. The idea that I'm laying out this leather and putting it next to the burled walnut and putting that next to the body color and having all those possibilities. And so I laid out, I said, I want it to be Aston Martin Racing Green because I don't like it when people get a car and they just go black on black. Like, I don't like that. So I was like, I want Aston Martin Racing Green. So I got it Aston Martin Racing Green, and I was going to get a black leather interior. And then they said, fine, order it up and pick it up in 6 months or not. And I was walking out of the dealership, and one of the guys in their office had a screensaver on their computer, and it was a 50s Jaguar, and it was British Racing Green. It was a convertible green car with a red leather interior. And I said, oh, that's how they do the British version. They do a red interior with a green exterior, and it looks so awesome. And I turn around and walk back up to the showroom, and I said, you know what? I'm going Aston Martin Racing Green with a red leather interior now. I've changed my mind. And they said, that's fine, but you own that car. And I said, what again? And they said, we're never going to be able to sell a green car with a red interior. We could easily sell a silver car with a black interior. Now, you guys see it now, and it looks killer. Everyone loves it. Right. But you got a picture from a sales standpoint, a red interior with a green exterior and a red interior. That's a tough putt for someone who just wants to move an Aston Martin. You could get black on black or gray interior with a black exterior or silver exterior. That would be fine. But this seemed tough for them. So I then went full Albert Brooks in Defending Your Life when he took the first class ticket alone to Japan Tokyo, wherever he was going, Tokyo. And I just said, fuck it. I'm in then. We're doing this. And then it showed up and everyone loved it. But that was an interesting conversation. And also, it's interesting how business works, right? Like, just order a car, and then if you don't want it, we'll sell it. And when they were saying that, they thought I was going to order a silver car with a black interior. But they didn't think about green with red.
And no points for it being the traditional way it's done. People don't care.
No, people are kind of jack-offs.
I imagine they're reverse engineering their thinking, which is, we sell so few of this color combination, maybe one over the last 3 years. The reason is because no one thinks of it. Once you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's great. But no one thinks to do that.
No, yeah. I don't even know if they sell any of that combo. Like, everyone who orders their car just gets it. They get it in red with a black interior. Like, it's funny.
Someone else must have seen that screensaver.
Someone else must have seen it. It'd be nice because I've not seen it. You barely even see him in Aston Martin Racing Green. I mean, that's the name of the, that's their racing color. When you see Aston Martin race cars, they're in Aston Martin Racing Green. If you show me a picture, Max Zapata, here's some work for you. Find me a picture of the great Carroll Shelby and the Aston Martin he drove to win Le Mans. 1955, I think it was, and you will see the same shade of green that's on my car. It's a lighter, sort of more nuanced, interesting green. I'll buy you a second there, Max Zapata, and I'll tell you about Blinds Galore over here, blindsgalore.com. Family-owned and run, first place to buy custom window treatments online, over 2 million windows covered. Blinds, shades, shutters, drapes, even blinds that connect to your smartphone. And Amazon, Alexa, just boom, charge them up. Well, my bedroom, they go up and down every single night. Seem to hold about 6 months, 9 months. Either way, charge them like you charge a cell phone. And that's good. No pulling wires, no transformers, no nothing. Start to finish, they take care of you. Measuring, and you measure them. You pick out the style, and their experts will walk you through every step of the way. And whether you need more privacy or you just want to keep the heat out, like we were talking before with the cars, get that with blindsgalore.com. Right, Dawson?
Blindsgalore.com makes it easy to get the safe, high-quality designer blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home, all at a great price, all at up to 45% off. See for yourself at blindsgalore.com today and let them know Adam sent you. That's blindsgalore.com.
Find any pictures, Maxipata? Now, you probably have to find a color newer. Yeah, there it is. It's that light green, which is not that hunter green, but it's a very pleasing green called Aston Martin Racing Green.
Is it British Racing Green, right? Brunswick Green, Hunter Green.
British Racing Green is a darker. That's on Jaguars.
Okay,
just saw two of those yesterday. But the darker, it is a darker green.
Yeah, the Hunter Green and the British Racing Green is like what you'd see. If you pull up a Jaguar and you say British Racing Green, you'll see like the dark green, the Aston Martin Racing Green. I don't know if they call it what they call it other than Aston Martin Racing Green. It's a lighter green. But anyway. All right, one more, Gina Grant.
It's Purdy. So if you're an animal lover, now is a good time to move to Germany because they're introducing a law that would make it mandatory for owners to take their dogs for walks at least twice a day for a minimum of an hour in total. The proposed Dogs Act also states that owners would not be able to leave dogs chained up or alone for an entire day, and puppies would be required to have human companionship for at least 4 hours a day. Agricultural Minister Julia Klöckner says in a recent interview, pets are not cuddly toys. Their needs have to be taken into account. And if passed, this law could go into effect next year. How do they monitor it? I don't know.
A minimum of 2 1-hour walks a day?
No, a total of an hour, two walks.
Oh, two walks, 20, total
20,
an 40, hour.
40, 10, 50, whatever you want.
Huh. I don't think I'm kind of a one walk a day dude. I don't, but a longer walk. But
that
I don't,
was such a fine.
Well, I guess it depends. Like, you know, I got a big backyard and a swimming pool and stuff. And like Phil goes out in the yard and then he swims in the swimming pool and then he gets out and he starts running around like a mad dog when he's all wet. And then Sonny goes out there and throws something with him and like wrestles with him a little bit. So I'm going to count that.
You're not in an efficiency studio in Berlin.
Right, right. So he kind of gets out and makes the scene. You know, we're living in a interesting era, which is like monitoring government intrusion versus what we kind of agree is a good thing. You know, we're kind of like, well, people should wear masks, okay, but should the government be in charge? And then what does that lead to? And I don't know, maybe it's nothing. I don't know, but we're having to balance this now. It's sort of like we're having to do it with like surveillance cameras. Like there's a surveillance camera on every corner. Should law enforcement be able to film everyone all the time in whatever they're doing? Or should they have everyone's DNA on record? And my feeling is like, as a guy who's not breaking the law, have the DNA and film me walking down the street. And then when the shit goes down, bust the criminals, you know? But I do understand that argument of not wanting the government in every aspect of your life. And then you start getting into the enforcement side of it. Like, well, then how do we enforce this? And then what happens when neighbors start ratting out other neighbors because you only took your pup for a 20-minute walk once on a Wednesday? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be something to navigate. I will definitely say that. We're definitely going to have to learn to kind of navigate that as we move forward. And Germany's funny because they have the Holocaust in their rearview mirror. Like, I mean, if you think about a country with the Holocaust, like you think about our country and you think about how much we suffer from slavery and the memory of slavery and the discussions of slavery. Imagine if you had the Holocaust. I mean, slavery was, you know, 100 plus years in the past. The Holocaust is much closer.
Well,
And you're carting people off and putting them in ovens. You know what I mean? Like, you could say slavery is evil, but in a way, it's as greedy as it is evil. It's just people not wanting to pay other people, and for that, doing evil things. This is literally, Holocaust is like, I'm going to take time and resources from winning a world war so I can cart Jews off to a place where I can exterminate them. Like,
well, and it's a tougher putt in 2020, but I remember growing up, there were, I mean, at synagogue, there were many Holocaust survivors that were alive and well.
Yeah.
I know that that's not as true anymore, but they're very much alive and telling their stories.
Yeah. Give it a minute. It'll come back around. There'll be more for the next generation to enjoy. Oh, I know how trends work. It's like bell bottoms. Like, they went away. Easily. Now they're back. That's how Holocaust survivors work. It's cool, but my kids will enjoy a synagogue filled with Holocaust survivors. Yeah, my grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. I mean, he had to leave Hungary. Yeah. He fled. Definitely his sister, Bougie, was definitely a Holocaust survivor. And then Gabi, her son, was there with her during the Holocaust. So it's like I look at myself as a Holocaust survivor because my fucking parents, you know. But I'm not saying what
work camp.
I'm not saying the Jews could experience quite as bad as what my experience was, but. Yeah, I mean, that my grandfather and Bougie and Gabi, like, they would all come over for Thanksgiving, and there was a big Holocaust survivor group. I grew up with those people. That's why I don't like when people throw out, you know, Hitlerian and Holocaust, like, with such ease, you know, when they're talking about some group being asked to do something, you know.
It's a little insulting.
It's a little insulting that people are actually marched off to ovens naked and incinerated, but, you know, that's just me. On a happier note, we have a picture of an Aston Martin versus a British racing green Jaguar. Yeah, so the Jag is deep and dark green, and the Aston is just a lighter, flirtier green.
Fun fact, the reason these cars are green, because when motor racing was illegal in England, they would race in Ireland, and as a mark of respect, they painted them shamrock green.
I like that there's a story behind everything. I like that Ferrari is red, and maybe, God, there's yellow is like Argentina or something. America is white and blue, and green is British. German is silver. Like, each country has their color. That's why Mercedes,
like the fillings they would take out of the Holocaust.
Yes, they put the Holocaust fillings right on the hood of the Mercedes. But if you picture those classic race car Mercedes, they're always silver. That's the way they work. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, JB Weld. Just a quick few seconds for JB Weld, proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. And they've been around for over 50 years, and I use them all day. Epoxy adhesives, and they have the Super Weld, the fast stuff as well. JBWeld.com and retailers everywhere. And Haish coming on tomorrow. And she's going to talk about whatever we want to talk about. She was Ellen's girlfriend, remember, back in the day, and many other things. So a lot to get into with her. I want to thank Mark Garagos and Mike Murphy and J.L. Colvin for participating in today's show. Tempe, Arizona, we're going to do live pod there and stand up there. That's Tempe, Arizona Improv, September 18th and 19th. So go get some of those tickets. And then Salt Lake City Wise Guys, October 2nd and 3rd. I'm your emotional support animal. I read your reviews on Amazon, good and bad. So get that and leave a review, please. And until next time, this is Adam for Mark and Mike and JL and Gene and Bald saying mahalo.
Stick around. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla return for Good Sports right after this.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace. We talked about it yesterday. Tonight, episode 3 of Hard Knocks as pro football season gets ever closer. In the meantime, we have one of the emerging powerhouse sports of the 21st century, people making apologies for things they did the day before. In the world of sports, I don't know if you caught the two high-profile ones from last week. Mike Milbury, the longtime NHL analyst, former coach, he had a pretty tepid one. Did you catch this one last Thursday night?
I caught the Reds play-by guy doing the apology mid-game.
Tom Brenneman, which was crazy. Like, I'd like to apologize to the people who signed my checks. I mean, that was – I like the no jive aspect of it, but it's like that's a little bit too honest, man. That's not who you need to apologize to if you want anybody to buy this this apology.
Yeah, I found that interesting. I also found it interesting that he had to continue to call the game as in between the apologies, which I just love. And the curse of a guy hitting a dinger 10 seconds into the apology. I didn't hear the NHL one. I saw little bits and pieces of it. I never know because, you know, you turn on, you open your computer and this guy's trending and that's what I saw, but I didn't dive into the story. What was the story?
I'm trying to think. You did plenty of live radio, obviously, over the years. I have caught myself like sitting there on a stage, mic'd up, and I don't know if it's the devil in you, but you know, when you know that you're on a commercial break, you know, maybe I've used four letter words back to the people in the booth. Have you ever, but like it also, cause I think a lot of people with Tom Brenneman, first of all, the Reds guy, are kind of like, why would you even risk it? Why would you say anything like that? That was an interesting one, but okay. Mike Milbury I'm legitimately surprised. And you know, I'm much more delicate than you are, Ace. You know, I'm way more delicate about these things than you. And I kind of like, really? He's in major trouble for this? They're talking on the broadcast on Thursday night of the playoff game. And the other guy says, if you think about it, this bubble is a terrific environment. Oh, do you want to play it here, Gary? Okay, go ahead.
Sure. I can play it for you. Here we go.
If you think about it, it's a terrific environment with regards to if you enjoy playing and enjoy being with your teammates for long periods of time, it's a perfect place.
Not even any woman here to disrupt their concentration.
Oh, and also, too, no travel.
Yeah, it's a kind of an old adage. I mean, it's a sport. There's two sides of the old sports adage. One, there's the, as we discussed before, the sort of weak in the knee, like, hey, don't be with a woman 2 months before the big fight. But the other was, it's more than a cliche to go, well, what about this guy? Well, he would have had a better career, but he loved the ladies. He loved the nightlife. You know, he loved all the distractions and he didn't focus. You know, this other guy was a family man. He was Roger Staubach, right? He was a God fearing one woman. You know, he was always the first guy in the field at practice. He was never hungover and never whatever. Yeah. The women, when you're a 27 year old guy and you're at the height of your powers and women can be a distraction, I would say.
I am for real. I am all for the, you know, 100%, of course, what was acceptable 10 years ago isn't now. Things have progressed and I'm lucid about those things and I embrace those things and everything else. I really, when I, the fallout from this 24 hours after the fact was so crazy. I really thought like, wait, what did I miss? That's okay. So that's his opening volley. What did he then go on to say that was so offensive? And it's like, no, that was it. I expect I don't have to preach to the converted on this, but this is a new line for me that you're not allowed to acknowledge that. I mean, yeah, that's the whole thing, isn't it? That women coming into the facility is going to be a bad distraction and potentially spread COVID. It seemed like just a throwaway line. I frankly, excuse me if I'm not woke enough, but you know, I consider myself to be on the that side of things. So I'm just positively stunned by how big a situation this has turned into. It's not as bad as Tom Brenneman, but still.
Well, what are they calling it? And then what are they calling for him to do? And then it really, I'll tell you the problem. I'll tell you where the problem lies with this. Reasonable people, you know, they always say reasonable people can disagree. Reasonable people will all be on the same fucking page of this one. He didn't do anything. The problem is there's a large group in this society, and I've dealt with a lot of these people, where they go, I know what he said wasn't wrong, but he shouldn't have said it. They go like, all right, well, what do you mean he shouldn't have said it? Just in this day and age, with what's going on, you just don't even go near there. So it's like, it's his fault for bringing up a subject or saying words or saying something. It's the Matt Damon syndrome. I said it a million times. I knew we jumped the shark as a nation when my wife's dingbat friend was like talking about Matt Damon. She was going, oh, just shut up. Shut up. And I was like, he didn't say anything. He said that Al Franken wasn't Harvey Weinstein. That's what he said. And she's like, I know, but just shut up. And I'm like, what do you mean just shut up? What do you mean you know? I mean, this is a new world order, and it's insane. You will find 2% of people are offended at what the guy said. 98% of people are like, I don't even know why. He shouldn't have said anything. They're angry that he said something. He should have known better. Like, he let the word woman pass through his lips. He should have known. It's this weird thing. Like, okay, the problem is now what you're going to get is just radio silence. Like, guys aren't going to bring up anybody, anything, nationality, gender. Now, they'll just steer clear of everything. It's all going to be just puck talk. Or just
I know I keep saying the same thing, but I am stunned. Like, wait, that remark is getting that kind of pushback? It's like, what a caveman. This is 2020. Like, no. But if you're Mike Milbury, this lifelong hockey guy, like, you know, probably since he was 16 years old, he's been tracking towards a professional career. And then after coaching and GMing and now analyzing it, like, the whole conversation the last 6 months has been like, how do we keep people out of here and allow these guys to just focus on hockey? It's like, that's disrespectful to the women who work at the NHL who are there. But yes, we've also been conditioned that it's inappropriate, according to the man, to mix with your colleagues in the company. So they're off limits. So I don't understand. It's very hard for me to fathom. And I'm on that side of
Gary
things.
Well, I'll tell you what, the good news is we're out of problems because we're going after non-problems now. And these folks don't stop. That's what you got to realize, Sheck. They just keep rolling along. They're basically like PETA. Start off with, don't put baby calves in cages and make veal out of them and separate them from their mom. Like, I'm down with you. And then at a certain point, it gets into, if you kill a cockroach, you're as bad as Hitler. And now I'm done. Now I'm off. They just keep going. That's the problem. They keep going. And when they keep going, it's confusing to people who agreed with them in a former time in our history and who are sort of rational thinkers, that they kept going to this place, which is kind of how movements go, unfortunately. Gary has the NHL response.
They condemned the comment, calling it insensitive and insulting. NBC Sports also came out and called it an insensitive comment. And Milbury is backpedaling pretty fast. His response was, it was not my intention to disrespect anyone. I was trying to be irreverent and took it a step too far. It was a regrettable mistake that I take seriously.
You're all going into the cornfield. Little Johnny's putting you in the cornfield because you've been bad. You're bad.
I kind of like Milbury was required to do this, but like rebuking the statement as a league. All right. But then on the other hand, I'm the Brenneman thing is the more vexing thing to me is the lame apology. I don't know if you saw that. I used the word that is both offensive and insulting in the past 24 hours. I've read about its history. I had no idea it was so rooted in hate and violence. What you didn't? That one is a ridiculous attempt to overcorrect there. Wait, yeah. You shouldn't use the derogatory homophobic slur, the F one. I mean, come on, man.
Gary,
that
you
one's
have
ridiculous.
That, Let me hear. Can I hear that audio one more time? That hockey
the Reds?
Call? Yeah.
Oh,
not the Reds. The hockey call.
Sure. Just give me one moment.
It was so innocuous that it just kind of slipped by.
That's exactly what happened to me. It just was like, wait, where was the what the thing about no women to distract? Yeah, right. That's practically true.
Well, also, didn't somebody just get cut for trying to dress up a woman like a man and bring them into the NFL?
Bobble. We talked about that last week. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a distraction, right? Or there's rules against it? Or
that I legitimately think that this media guy, Mike Milbury, probably saw that Seahawks story and was like, see, you don't have to deal with that in this situation, was what kind of inspired the remark in the first place.
One more.
Here and play hockey, and if you think about it, it's a terrific environment with regards to if you enjoy playing and enjoy being with your teammates for long periods of time, it's a perfect place.
Not even any woman here to disrupt their concentration.
Oh, and also, too, no travel.
Oh, is that two guys saying one thing?
It's two guys. So
the one guy jumped in.
Correct. So Mike Milbury starts with, and not even any women here to distract your concentration, after the other guy is making the statement about how great the environment is to play in the bubble.
Yeah. He said, look, if that's your thing, then no distractions. Okay. All right, let me hit Bet Online over here. No distractions and no shortage of action with our exclusive partner, betonline.ag, NBA playoffs. They continue, and NHL playoffs, as we're just speaking about, they're underway as well. Plus, MLB, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, soccer. BetOnline has the best odds and lines for upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC daily. Also, hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, best props in the business as well. And you want to get in on some of the action, and it's now pretty much open. It's all opened up, at least for you. Maybe not if you want to sit in the bleachers, but if you want to get in on it, visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget, promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
More hot sports talk coming your way tomorrow. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, good sports out.
Good sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. The links are up at adamcarolla.com.